Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete the duration of future punishments with responses from Plato and Paul the Apostle concerning question 1009.
Enjoy.
Question 1009. Accordingly, the punishments imposed are never eternal. Plato's response to question 1009.
War of words, war of words, haven't you shed enough blood? Are the inquisitional fires to be rekindled once again? You argue over expressions such as eternal suffering and eternal punishment. Don't you know that what you understand today by eternity is not understood the same way by the ancients? Let theologians consult the sources. Like you, they will discover that the Hebrew text does not give the word the same meaning that the Greek, the Latin, and modern translations have rendered as everlasting and unpardonable punishment. The eternity of the punishment corresponds to the evil that has occurred. Yes, so long as evil exists among humans, punishments will continue. It is in this relative sense that the sacred text should be interpreted. Eternal punishment is therefore relative and not absolute. A day will come when all humans will don the garments of innocence through repentance, and on that day there will be no more groaning or gnashing of teeth. It is true that your intelligence is limited, but even at this stage it is still a gift from God, and with the help of reason there will not be one single human of good faith who could possibly understand eternal punishment in any different way. Eternal punishment! How could that be? Only if we believed that evil was also eternal. But only God is eternal, and God could not have created eternal evil. If such were the case, we would have to deny one of the most beautiful divine attributes, supreme power, for God would cease to be supremely powerful the moment God introduced a destructive element into creation. Humanity, humanity, no longer immerse your somber glance in the depths of the earth, searching for these punishments. Weep, hope, expiate, and take comfort in the thought of a God who is infinitely good, absolutely powerful, and essentially just.
Paul the Apostle's response to question 1009.
The objective of humankind is to gravitate towards divine unity. For divine unity to occur, three things are necessary: justice, love, and knowledge. There are three things that are contrary to and oppose this unity: ignorance, hatred, and injustice. I must tell you that you lie about these fundamental principles when you compromise the idea of God by exaggerating God's severity. Furthermore, you doubly compromise it when you allow the spirit of the creature to think that the creature itself possesses more clemency, gentleness, love, and true justice than you attribute to the infinite being. You destroy the very idea of hell by rendering it ridiculous and unacceptable to your minds as the horrendous spectacle of the executions, the burnings at the stake, and the tortures of the Middle Ages as to your hearts. How can the idea of hell be sustained at a time when blind reprisals have been banished from human laws? Believe me, brothers and sisters, in God and in Jesus Christ. Believe me, and either resign yourselves to letting all the dogmas you hold to be unalterable perish in your hands, or breathe new life into them by opening them up to the benevolent explanations good spirits are now giving concerning them. The idea of a hell with its glowing furnaces and boiling cauldrons might be tolerated or admissible in a mythological age. In the 19th century, however, it is nothing more than an empty phantom that only serves to frighten little children, who will no longer believe in it once they have grown up. If you persist in such a frightening mythology, you will engender disbelief, the origin of every sort of social upheaval. I tremble at the idea of an entire social order shaken and crumbling upon its very foundations for lack of a penal sanction. People of ardent and living faith, vanguards of the day of the light, let us join efforts not to maintain old fables that are now discredited, but to revitalize the true penal sanctions under the forms that correspond to your customs, your sentiments, and the enlightenment of your era. Who, in fact, are the guilty? Those who, through a transgression, through a wrong impulse of the soul, have distanced themselves from the objective of their creation, which consists in the desire for goodness and beauty as idealized by the human embodiment of perfection, the divine model, Jesus Christ. What is punishment? It is the natural consequence of that wrong impulse, the amount of pain necessary for the guilty through the trials of suffering due to their transgression. Punishment is the good that arouses the soul through its affliction to turn toward itself, to return to the path of salvation. The objective of punishment is none other than rehabilitation and redemption. Wanting punishment to be eternal for a wrong which is not eternal is to deprive it of its reason to exist. Truly, I say to you, stop comparing eternity in terms of the good, which is the essence of the Creator, with evil, which is the essence of the creature. An approach that ends up creating unjustifiable penalties. Rather, affirm the gradual diminution of punishments and penalties through successive reincarnations, and you will consecrate divine unity through reason and sentiment.